Blog Talk Radio.
Hi there, you guys. Hey, this is Marcia with the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Look, you guys have been sending these emails. You've been trying to get through to me on these cell phones. You've been really a big encouragement because this show is important. This show is a life-saving, a life-giving, and a life-altering show. And all of you know Dr. Colonel William Harrison, I hope he'll be back this Saturday. You know, he's something else. Every time he gets on the show, you guys go crazy. I sure hope you're contacting him. I sure hope you're sending him any kind of a message. But most of all, I hope you have bought that book. You know, he's a famous author, and he has a lot to say in a book that borders on solutions for chaos in our world. But I want to welcome you back again this morning to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. And you know, we had a knockdown, drag-out show last Saturday talking about what kind of life should all of us be living. And people are living all sorts of ways. They're living off of alcohol. They're living off of drugs. They are living off of opiates, which is a cousin of drugs. They're living off of other people, other systems. And most of all, they're not living for a creator. And this is partly what this show is about. It's not a religious show, but people are calling in talking about what and why are you addressing a God that doesn't look like he's doing anything. But Dr. Harrison, Colonel Harrison's going to answer that. I hope he's going to be back this morning. But what has happened in your life? What has happened in my life? How can people better the situation and stop feeling lonely and isolated most of the time? Well, you know what? I hope that's an answer that some of you can answer. Because, as you know, there's been a new shooting there at a school, and then this morning someone else has gotten involved in almost a school shooting that was stopped or derailed. But Colonel Harrison, are you with us this morning? Colonel, yes, Dr. William Harrison.
Yes, good morning.
Hello, are you with us today?
Yes. Good morning, Dr. Cappuccino and audience. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you now. Thank you. You know what? I was praying you were going to be back on this show because so much has happened since last Saturday, and it appears that every time we talk, something else more gruesome or something else more worse than the week before has occurred. And we actually know that if anyone has any answers, it's someone that's wearing more than one hat. And we understand that while you're colonel, of course, you're also an ordained minister with a doctoral degree. You also are a former chief of police with 38 years in law enforcement. So I think if anyone has any credibility on talking about world events and perhaps solutions, real-time, real FaceTime solutions to what's going on, I'm praying it is you. Welcome back, Dr. Harrison. Now, last week, we ended on this note that ministers, churches, those sitting in the churches, have got to do a little bit more work if there's time. You know, some are saying, you know, that church clergy, they've had their time, they've had their day, they haven't done anything. And whatever they've done, we can't see it. Since we ended on that note, I think we're going to jump back in on that note. You know, Colonel Harrison, so many are upset because of this new school shooting. You understand that the Parkland survivors are still marching and talking and telling people that, you know, the NRA is no good and gun control is just absolute here in America. But since we've had this new shooting, and we're not going to, you know, spend a lot of time on it, the news has already done it, but since we've had a new shooting, after all they've done, all they've said, all the millions of dollars that have gone into the coffers there in D.C. for marches convening on Washington, it certainly looks like, as of yesterday, nothing has worked. New shooting, new death, new people running to and fro. Why is this? What has happened from week to week with the school shooting matter, Colonel Harrison?
Thank you, Dr. Cappuccino, and certainly good morning. Greetings to your listening audience. Let me begin by extending my heartfelt condolences to the family of the loved ones who expired as a result of this unfortunate mass shooting, and also those victims who were injured and survived. My heart goes out to to the that Santa Fe, Texas community. With respect to the shootings, Doc, there's apathy. There's more apathy than I think there's empathy. And my take on this is that there has to be a balance. We understand, or I understand from law enforcement perspective, guns don't kill, people do. However, there's no need for assault rifles and weapons of that can become mechanized, can fire rapid rounds automatically and so forth and so on. They're used in warfare, conventional warfare, guerrilla warfare, and hand-to-hand combat and all that kind of stuff. But I just want to say that there has to be a review of certain weapons, and it has to be, in my opinion, addressed by Congress. They got to take a look at these assault weapons. The current administration needs to take a look at it. The former administration took a look at it and was able to get legislation approved. And that's one part of it. The other part is that something is happening to some of our kids that to give them the mindset that they can go into a school, an innocent public school environment, and shoot innocent students, teachers, and administrative staff, and other workers, or janitorial workers, and so forth in the school. Something is driving that. One of the things, from a psychological point of view, that's driving it, since Parkland and other shootings prior to Parkland, very little has appears to have been done. The kids have demonstrated and all of that, and that's great. And there's other politicians joining in and advocating against certain handguns and so forth and automatic weapons, and that's good. But these shootings become repetitious, and they gain momentum, and you have those who might be weak, or young youth that might be weak or have some mental disturbance, think that that's a way to empower himself or herself, and I think that's what is going on. But we gotta shut it down. We gotta come up with preventive measures, starting with the legislation, then starting with parents, starting in the schools, school resource officers, on and so forth and so on, to try to combat this, because it's beginning to approach epidemic stage.
Okay, you know, that sounds very good, but let me kind of talk about Texas. State of Texas is known throughout the globe as a Bible Belt holding church state. They claim that there's more churches in Texas than in any other state in the union. Now, that brings us to a very interesting point. If that is the case, and some are saying that, you know, where is God? Here we go again. You know, I hate God. God didn't stop that Parkland shooting. Now look at what's happened. I'm running in and out of the church, you know, and this isn't, you know, this show is not based on the church or religion, as I already said. But they're saying that, you know, they're running in and out to church, you know, they're there, Bible class, Bible study, whatever they call it, and barbecue sales, you know, to help refurbish various churches there, and dinners, Sunday picnics. All that goes on in the state of Texas. I'm not saying it doesn't go on anywhere else, but that's a Bible-based state. What do you think people are thinking like now as far as that person going in there killing those students? Are they thinking that, where was God in this? We don't know about Parkland, but what has happened here, certainly in Texas?
Doc, according to my understanding and teachings of the Bible, the adversary, the enemy, identified as Satan, is the prince of this world. And one would have to believe that there's a superior being. And we talked about this last week, whether they call him God, Allah, whatever. And so there's the teachings of the oldest book in print, they're still the number one bestseller, that says that Satan is the prince of this world, is going to and fro seeking whom he can devour. He is enticing our children through guns and violence. He is enticing them to use drugs. He is enticing them to certain unlisted music. and all those kinds of things to stir them up. You know, we got to believe in something. Yes, that's a Bible. That's a Bible totem stake, a part of the Bible. And I agree with you. But we have to go back to the principle. And I might use this, the principle, one of the principles from the Bible, Scripture, Psalm 83 and 18 says that men may know that thou, whose name is Jehovah, is the most high over all the earth. Now, either we believe in a superior being or we don't. And if we don't believe in a superior being, then one of the problems we have is opposite of peace, we have chaos. If there's the one that believes in a superior being, that superior being, from my understanding, my teaching, my learning, my knowledge, advocates peace and love and brotherhood and sisterhood and respect for one another. But the other enemy, the adversary, Satan, advocates that we war against one another. And so I see this as being a derivative and work of the enemy called Satan in the Bible.
I sure do, too, because people are saying, my goodness, what is going on? Now, you touched on something, Satan, the devil. You know, people are not even talking about that anymore. You know, you don't hear about Satan unless, you know, you're listening to some of these hip-hop songs and they're actually saying, yeah, the devil got devil in my pocket, got the devil in my pocket, you know, like that. But you're not hearing throughout mainstream religion even, except some of the older Catholic bishops. You're not hearing on a Sunday basis anything about Satan. But I heard you mention Satan. Explain what you mean when you say Satan. What are you talking about? Is this an evil god? Is this someone with some power that can move men to do evil things? Who is this Satan?
Yeah. Satan is a fallen angel. He's a fallen supernatural angel that had the powers and was once empowered, and according to the teachings of the Bible, in a place called heaven. And then he tried to overpower God. And of course, there was a war in heaven. And Satan and a third of the angels in heaven were cast out. He lost the battle. He lost the war in heaven. He and a third of the angels cast down the earth. And as a result of him being cast down on the earth, he has become not only God's arch enemy, but man's arch enemy. Because God is the creator of man, heaven and earth, and everything that dwells therein. So there's a supernatural evil spirit, and the Bible identifies and names that spirit Satan. And that's what's running rampant upon the earth, that's causing all this evil, upheaval, overdoses of drugs, our kids going astray, these shootings and disrespect and race hatred, and all of this is tied into the enemy. From my perspective, Doc.
Oh, good Lord. Oh, my God. That was a lot of information. So you're talking about this an invisible being that's evil, wicked, and that was once in heaven, he's kicked out of heaven, and he's, what, roaming around here on the earth just at this very moment. That is a lot of information. Why isn't that information disseminated? Why don't we hear more about just what you said? That was a lot to take in, talking about an invisible devil or something that has control of man. Oh, my God. Give us a little information on that.
Yeah, well, the reason, Doc, it's not being circulated like it once was, generations gone by, is because a lot of the churches, without regards to the denomination, is not teaching and preaching on that subject matter. People have to be informed. Pastors are obligated to teach the truth, which there is a heaven and there is a hell. And in heaven, God is, and his holy angels in charge. In hell, Satan and his demons are in charge. And so that is not being taught, and as a result of not being taught, people just think that things are happening by happenstance and they go along with the get along. No. Things are happening because there's been a turning away from God. There's it's called apostasy. That's what it is called, from my understanding.
Okay, now let's go back to the topic of the show. What kind of life should a person be living? Well, if we're now introducing a devil into the picture,
how can people live a life that will lead to peace and not this chaos that we see today? How can people live a life that will show that they're loving toward one another? Because, you know, if you love someone, you're not going to kill them. How can people live a life today that has any kind of a meaning if this person called Satan is on the prowl?
I believe, Doc, they can still live a peaceful life if they submit to prayer. If they have a problem believing there's a superior being called God and there's an enemy called Satan, they still can embrace prayer. Prayer is good for the soul. Prayer has a soothing effect, a calming effect, a healing effect. And prayer gives encouragement and consolation. And I think through the prayer tents, and I mentioned it the last Saturday and the previous Saturdays, prayer tents that's going to be established by the International Platform for Peace going across the country, certain designated cities and states, would be a good advocate at the community-based level for people to come by and get prayer from those who are willing to offer and render prayer to help encourage them, help sustain them. When we're hungry, we seek food, physical food. When we thirst, we seek water or some liquid beverage. Well, when our souls really are yearning and earning and trying to find a way, we got to feed our spiritual souls. We got to feed our spiritual souls with prayer and that will build us up and give us hope and give us confidence and help uplift us so that we won't become depressed. And we got to associate with like-minded people who are positive and open-minded. So that's an option. And so I'm really excited about this tent of prayer, and because the opposite of peace is chaos, and so we don't have peace throughout the United States and the world, and so now we have chaos, and that's the opposite of peace, and that's what's going on now. We live in a chaotic country and a chaotic world.
Well, let me ask you this, because you're certainly on track. You're always on track, Colonel Harrison, but let's take it step by step. You know, we're human creatures, so we normally tend to want to be told in baby steps, baby phases, okay, this is what we're going to do. If you're going to sweep the floor, you got to get the broom, then you got to find the floor to sweep, then you got to make sure you have something to sweep up the particles. So right now, let's take it step by step. What kind of life should all be living? I'm going to jump in there and say, number one, we should be living a life that shows that we care about others. That's one thing. I think that leads to peace, too. Showing others that you care about them. That's number one. What other steps do you think a person could take if they want to know what kind of life they should be living?
Yeah, well, that's a good one to start, Doc. Once we show that we care about people, then that brings about compassion. And compassion will lead to affection. And we'll be willing to help one another, to assist each other, uplift one another when there is a need. If I'm lacking and you have and I don't, then we should be our brother's keeper, that help share our resources with someone who does not have resources. And so the whole idea is a brother helping a brother, sister helping a sister, family helping one another. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Love is the key, not the filial's love and so forth. But I'm talking Eros love, but I'm talking in the Greek. But I'm talking about agape love, heavenly love, godly love. Because if I have love for someone, regardless of the race, nationality, color, or creed, I'm gonna have compassion. I'm going to have understanding. I'm going to be more open to helping meet them at their need and help provide for them. So we got to look beyond the color of one's skin and look at the content of their character. And I want to say this, and I'm going to pause again, Doc. The only natural Americans in this country are the Native American Indians. Everyone else's ancestors came from abroad. So I want to say this with respect to race. We may not have come from across the shores and foreign countries. Our ancestors came from there, and those of us who were born here. So we may not have come across our ancestors may not come across from the foreign shores in the same boat or together, but today, present day, we are physically in the same boat together here in the United States in terms of survival.
My. You know what? And the Native Americans surely are rising. You know, there's some that are saying that, we haven't gotten our just due. You know, the white man's still no good, and, you know, he still has all the power in his hand. But there are Native American people that are saying just what you're saying. Now, you know, I'm going to step back here again for a second. You know, we're talking about some answers to what kind of life should all be living. Now, with that being said, some of the things you mentioned are things that are not taught in a university: compassion, loving, and caring for another. There's no compassion 101 course in any university college that I know of in America. But where do people get the instruction to do what you said? Now, it sounds like to me that they would get that type of spiritual instruction from the church. But if the ministries are shutting down all across America, is that part of the problem with the chaos that we see? Because 100 years ago, 50 years ago, 25 years ago, people were in church and they were in other institutions, other organizations that taught what you just said. But now, where do people go to that want to be living a better life than what they're living now, but they just don't know how? I need someone to teach me. I need to know, how can I be compassionate? How can I learn to care about one another? No one cared about me as a kid growing up. I didn't learn that. What do we tell people, especially those listening on the air, what they can do and where they can go to learn how to be that kind of an individual, that kind of human?
Okay. If the church is closing down within their respective community, then they have to find another resource. The principles that advocated, taught in the Bible about loving thy neighbor thyself and being thy brother's keeper, those principles years gone by were taught within the family, from parent to child, mother, father, to their son and daughter, or sons and daughters. So one has to now tap into someone, whether they're in the church or out of the church, that believe in these principles. And they can not only see it in their walk, they see it in their talk, and they see it in their action, and they can embrace that person, and that person can help teach and guide and direct them. So belief is one thing. Believing there is a God, but there's another way you can tap into people who are good people that may not believe in a superior being, may not believe in God, but they believe in doing good deeds and good things. So they have good values, they have good principles, they have good morals. And so people got to start tapping into people of that nature in their workplace, in their communities, at the social service centers and all these kinds of places, the barber shops, the beauty shops. You got to tap into people that are up with mobile and positive and seem to be about something and willing to help encourage you and can refer you to some resources, possibly even help you with some resources that you may need. So we got to return back to the basics and start those kinds of things. So the people did that years gone by, and then they went to the church, and the church reinforced it and sustained it and taught it and preached it, which kept people having hope, kept them being inspired, kept them being encouraged, kept them being uplifted. So we got to tap into people around us, or find someone around us that have those kind of attributes and embrace them and establish a friendship with them so that we can strengthen ourselves and help save ourselves.
My goodness, that sounds great. That sounds doable, but I tell you what, people in all walks of life are fearful. They're not opening their doors. They're not practicing hospitality like they used to. People don't even speak to you on the street. So I think that would be a hard sell to tap into people that don't even speak to you, don't want to have anything to do with you. You're not on their social level. You're not on their educational level. So people are not really reaching out like they used to. But I'm thinking this platform for peace, you're sitting at the head of that. I'm thinking that international platform for peace
might be a good starting point, because when you say they have to find the people, how are they going to find them? I think what they're looking for is someone that they can almost worship. And, you know, man was created to worship. So if they're not worshiping God, if they're not giving him adoration, then quite naturally they're looking, they're seeking for some other avenue to pour that into. And I just think, as I heard you talk, that the platform for peace would be an organization that could set up some kind of parameters or some boundaries for those that actually get out state by state. Perhaps you could get a state chapter involved. You could get city by city chapters involved, because what we talked about this morning on the show, no other organization is interested in doing that. All the old boys clubs are drying up. All the women's clubs are all drying up. I go to meetings for well-known, very prosperous clubs. There's 5 or 10 sitting up in there. No more than that. So people are hiding and they're burying themselves within their homes on these cell phones and on these computers. So, and I'm thinking, I read something where 20 million a day is searching the internet on how to live a better life. So there millions of people are sad, sick, and sorry because they're not living the kind of life they want to, because here we go again. They really don't know how. I can't run into the churches. They're shut down. If I go in there, you know, I may not be able to even sit there amongst them for wickedness and crazy things going on in the church. Schools, oh, well, I'm going to get education. Now you see, if you try to do that, you might get shut down like a dog trying to get an education. You go in the grocery stores, women are full of fruit bags that are on sale. I mean, every segment of mankind is in trouble. And your book mentions this, but I'm thinking in listening to you speak that there's got to be another avenue, and I think I want to explore this avenue next week on what kind of life should all be living. We have about, I would say, 3 minutes to actually close up on this segment. But Colonel Harrison, would you be willing to come on next week so we could take this further? Because we've got to find some avenues for people to actually kind of cocoon in that would help them live a better life. People that don't live a good life, they do bad things. People that don't know what kind of life that they should be living, they're living any kind of way. And I think from this show topic that we do have more to say. I think we could be on this topic until the end of time. But would you be willing to share again next week, next Saturday?
Yes, I'd be glad to, and I think the International Platform for Peace would be a good vehicle for us to advocate to the listening audience and others.
And then you mentioned also, sir, about the tents of prayer.
Yeah.
Something that all of those that are handling and manhandling those tents could actually indoctrinate. That could be a sign. What kind of life should I be living? And then they could come in, and then, of course, they could talk about the life they've been living and why they want to change it. It's not worked for me. I'm miserable. I'm sick, sad. I'm sorry. So on. And that could be a topic of prayer, that people find the life that they should be living, whether they mention God or not. But I think that might be something that could work. What is your take on that?
I agree, Doc. Tents of prayer. As comes under the umbrella of the International Platform for Peace, and it's a nice a mechanism and resource that's going to be community based, where people can come up physically and interact with another person who can pray for them, encourage them, have conversation with them, uplift them, and so forth. And I fully support that, and I think we should continue this dialogue next week.
I think so. And when you mention nice, I don't think we want to be nice. I think we want to be dead effective on getting these people on a pathway to know the life that they should be living. And whatever their destiny is, prayer will bring it out. I tell people, if you were born to be a doctor, you can do 1,000 things in between your lifetime. But before you pass off the scene, you will be a doctor. God had a plan for everyone when they were in the conception mode. And of course, when they stepped out of mom's womb, their destiny clocked down. It actually started. So I think what we're talking about definitely is something that is doable. But God bless you. You know, you always come on the show. you always have some very good things to actually talk about, and I'm very happy about it. But okay, at 8:30, we're going to be ending our show. Thank you, Dr. Colonel Harrison, for being on the show. And hey, everybody, come back next week to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. You're really going to be hearing some life-saving news. You've already heard it. Now you're going to learn how to put that into order and into effect in your life. Have a great weekend, and thank you again for tuning in to the Dr. Cappuccino Show. Have a great weekend, Colonel Harrison.
Thank you. You too. Bye-bye.